I call this meeting for the Committee on Oversight to order on Monday, October 24th at 7:09 a.m. in room 320 of the Joe Crowley Student Union and on Zoom. First order of business.
Speaker Thompson.
Present.
Speaker Pro Tem Bourneau.
Present.
Parliamentarian Toy Bell.
Present.
Senator Nathan Unden.
Present.
Senator Noble.
Present.
Senator Claussen.
Present.
Senator Salah.
Tardy unexcused.
Senator Gonzalez.
Senator Gonzalez is tardy excused.
And Senator Berggren.
Present.
Awesome, we have a quorum.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to go ahead and move into agenda item 3, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? And just to be sure, can those of you on Zoom hear us?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, seeing that there's no public comment at this time, we're going to go ahead and move down to agenda item 7A, points memo. If I understand correctly, Secretary Leland, there are no changes to the point memo since it was last read into the record on last Wednesday's meeting. Is that right?
There are some changes. Juan, let me just pull that up really quickly. If I believe, I'm remembering correctly, there's a senator who was tardy, Mark Tardy, unexcused at the latest at a meeting, but I don't know if they showed up, Senator Dean.
Yeah, they did not send a show for
this. So Senator Dean has an additional 2 points on top of his, I think, pre-existing 1 1/3 point. Here, let me pull that up just to make sure I'm not mistaken. Here. 3 1/3 points.
Okay.
That's the only change.
Perfect. So at this time, then we're also allowing anyone to make petitions to the points that they received. So. Senator Kermachagi, if there's any motions that you'd like to make or present to the committee to be able to reduce any accumulated points that you've made, that would be appropriate. We could also do it inside agenda item 7B as well if you think that that's more fit.
I'll just do it inside of agenda items.
Okay, cool. So going ahead and moving to agenda item 7B, since you're hearing for Senator Kermachagi, so Senator Kermachagi received an additional 2/3 points. The first was for being marked tardy and excused at the October 6, 2022 Committee on Academics and Student Affairs meeting and October 7th Committee on Budget and Finance meeting, which means that as the discussion the Committee on Oversight had at our previous center hearing and the piece that was passed through Senate, we have to call him back into the Committee on Oversight for a review. So we can go ahead and we can really open the floor to discussion. If Senator Kermachagi, you want to make any sort of a statement to the Committee on Oversight regarding what's going on, we could go ahead and open the floor for discussion.
Good morning, Senators. It is with a heavy heart that I am here again. I'm sorry that this is happening. I will say that though my tardy unexcused may have been unexcused, just a reminder of how busy I've been in the last few weeks. It's not easy for any of us here to be ASUN senators and members of our, you know, grand academics and whatnot, but also being leaders and organizations outside of ASUN, and so, you know, our time constraints are limited. But I will say to each of these meetings, I have showed up. It's not like I just didn't show up. And at each of these meetings, I've put my all into these meetings. And I think all of you guys have seen that since my last centuries. I started to realize the importance of Senate and what it means to me and representing and doing well. And on all cases, I tried to inform my committee chairs that I was going to be running late. I don't know the formalities of the tardy excuse or tardy unexcused. I've been committed to being a better senator. I value my position in other ways. I've showed up to all general meetings, and even when I do show up a little late to these meetings on committee, I still am there to put a lot in. I think how I measure as a senator is seen through my outreach, which you guys can all see, my comments at the Senate table, and the legislation I'm working on right now. I think it is in the best interest of this body to reassess the point assessment, or at least the details of my last censure. I don't think it's grounds for impeachment to be a couple minutes late here and there. And like I said, I'm a student. I'm still trying to figure out Greek life. I'm still trying to figure out college. I'm still trying to figure out my job. I actually had a really great conversation with my supervisor about cutting my hours so I can have more time for things that are more important to my professional development than riding on an ambulance for 12 hours a day.
Awesome, I appreciate it. So we'll go ahead and open up the community room for site for discussion centered at the end.
So regarding the 1/3 point that I got assigned for ASA, I talked to my secretary like that same day, but like to change his tardiness excuse to present, but I told her like after the meeting was over, she told me that she would get it fixed, but I don't know if that had a part in the play that the meeting was already over. So if I'm able to just revoke my 1/3 point, I would love to do that.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so we can go ahead and just make a quick motion for that to get that update on points memo. So if you want to move to remove the 1/3 point for the tardy and excused on October 6, 2022, through unanimous consent.
I move to remove the 1/3 point for tardy and excused on October 6, 2022, through unanimous consent.
Second.
Perfect. Is there any dissent to that motion? All right, seeing no dissent, that motion passes. So Senator Kermanshaw, he has now accumulated only 1/3 additional points since his last censure hearing. So given the comments that he provided to the Committee on Oversight, is there any discussion regarding maybe future steps, what's next kind of thing? Senator
And regarding my specific committee, he did come in tardy that day, but he brought in like a lot of good conversation to talk to Vice President Ellis. And in our last meeting too, I suggested a committee legislation piece. So I think he's doing really good work trying to prove himself with other time commitments as well.
Does anybody have questions for Senator Kermanshahi? Senator Klassen?
I just want to say first that I certainly agree that being late a few times is not grounds for impeachment. Like, I don't think, I mean, at least I'm not thinking that way personally. But I do want to know, how far in advance did you know that you would be late to these meetings, and how did you communicate that with your chairs? And following that, how do you plan to better communicate that in the future so that those tardies will be excused, hopefully?
I gave like 5 or 10 minutes heads up notice, like, hey, I'm running a little late, or hey, I can't find. It was pretty short notice, I'm not going to lie. How I would better communicate that, I guess try to plan out my days a little more, but with everything going on, it's been a little hectic, so, you know, I can only promise so much. You know, like I said, I think even when it came to this meeting, like, we were still running a few minutes late. It's like, it's inevitable. Especially with, you know, having a busy schedule, but, you know, trying to make strides to say, hey, I should plan a little bit ahead of time or whatnot might be a good idea. But like I said, I think for us, you know, I'm not perfect, but neither is any of my peers. I think we can just cross our fingers and hope that I show up on time.
Senator Noble.
So, yeah, I agree. Being late to a couple meetings is certainly not grounds for removal. However, it is not just being late to a couple meetings. It's being late on top of everything that happened before. And frankly, you got off to a bad start this semester with everything that happened over the summer. Now, normally, a third of a point from being late to a committee meeting, and I would not have that removed from the record. I wouldn't have it removed because I earned it. Normally a third of a point isn't a big deal. But when accumulated on top of your previous record, Senator Kerman Shahi. The way that we wrote the previous censure piece requires us to call you back. Now, in terms of hope and crossing our fingers, my old fencing coaches say that hope is not a valid strategy. So, if we are going to give you yet another chance, I want more than hope. I want an actionable plan. Because, you know, I get it. Showing up late is probably not the worst offense you can commit as a senator. However, there is still a standard of professionalism that we do need to uphold. In the Committee on Budget and Finance, every week we have financial reviews. Some weeks we have guest presenters. Now, if someone shows up late to those meetings, not only can it delay the start, but also it's a little bit discourteous to the people that we've called in who are taking their time to come present to us. And at a certain point, being on time is a part of a professional set, both here and in the workforce. So if we're going to move forward in a direction of giving you another chance, I want to know what actionable steps you're going to take to make sure that you can show up on time.
That's a great question, Senator Noble. I think, to the contrary, you know, a famous space wizard said, "Hope is all we have," or something like that. While your hope for an actionable plan is justified, I can't sit here and lie through my teeth and say that, I'm gonna come up with a planner or something here. Like, I understand that I've been late a couple times, and I understand the consequences of my actions, and I'm willing to make a better effort. But to assume that, you know, I'm gonna set alarms or tell you guys that I'm gonna do all these like robust things to make sure that I'm not late is absurd. I think all I can offer is, I recognize I've been late a couple of times, and I know my past, I know my history. I do not like waking up at 6:30 to come to these meetings, and I'm sure none of you guys like to have these conversations either. I'd rather get your meeting done and over with. I think this meeting in itself is punishment enough for me coming out here and trying to explain myself, and it's not something foreseeable semester, so I would hope, again, emphasize on hope that I don't show up here again. It's not a fun experience. It's not a great thing to let your peers know, oh, I'm being censured again. I think we can all come to an agreement on that. But I'm not, like I said, I'm not gonna lie. I will do better. I have done better in the past. Every time I'm brought into this this space, I ensure that my actions are reversed. I've done a complete 180 in the past, and I can do a complete 180 again.
Is there any further discussion? Senator, no.
Through the speaker to Senator Kerman Shahi, with the committees that you're currently sitting on, do those times like work for you? Are you like late to these meetings maybe because of like class conflicts involved in that, or like would like basically are the times that you're like currently sitting on working for you? Would you be considering like changing to other times that work better for you?
I have considered switching times. It's just the other committee meetings are in more conflict to my other obligations. Most of the obligations that do come up when they come up are very last minute.
Are there any other discussion or commentary for the committee on oversight wants to go ahead and move into how they'd like to handle the situation? Senator Noble.
Yeah. All right, Senator Kerman Shahi. Love to see you here again. And you're right, coming to these meetings is definitely punishment enough. Right now, I am considering another course of leniency. Because, frankly, when you do show up, you do participate, and you are a valued member of my committee. So I think it would be unwise to move to have you punished at this point. So instead, though, I do want to talk a little bit about priorities, which is just kind of what I see this issue boiling down to. Now, we all have busy schedules, that's true. There are some obligations that we can't control, but, well, frankly, Senator Kumchahi, with some of the excuses that I've gotten and learned in retrospect, I have not been satisfied that those were priorities that take precedence above coming to the committee meeting on time. And so I just want to be very clear that this does need to be a priority at a certain point. Not a priority above your health, not a priority above your work or your academics, but a priority nonetheless. And if you can do that, and you did show up on time to my last committee meeting, then I think the committee should consider moving forward.
Parliamentarian Dribble. Through the chair to Senator Kermanshahi, I just want to say I appreciate your honesty today. I think, like, for me, I value your honesty the most. Like, it's pretty easy, like, to make excuses to why you're late or why this is happening, but, like, just being honest is probably your best course of action, because we're all students, we all have, like, other jobs, we all are very busy, like, it happens, being late happens. It's just being honest about it is like, seems more genuine, and I appreciate you coming out this morning and being honest with your situation, and not, like, coming up with any excuses. So I recognize the work that you're putting in, the projects you're working on. And you are a very vocal member of our body, and you provide a lot of important discussion that we wouldn't have without you, so I appreciate that.
Perfect. So, pursuant to NRS 241031, this is an open meeting, so you're not required to leave, but if you'd like to step out, leave the committee on oversight to have a discussion regarding what they would like to do, then we can call you back in the room. So, seeing that we have open conversation with Senator Kermanshahi, it's now up to the Committee on Oversight to move forward and how they feel most fit. I don't know if this is based on what we had in terms of conversation. I don't know if it would be appropriate to take no action. I don't know if it would be appropriate to, you know, discuss additional punitive measures of the body. But that's something that I'd love for you guys to bring up points on. Pro Tempore, no?
Just to kind of speak on some of the stuff that he brought up, kind of like what we've been talking about, I know that he's involved with a lot of organizations outside of ASUN, but it's important to remember that, like, we show up here on time because this, like, at the end of the day, like, we are paid to be in these positions and we were elected, and that comes with, like, a certain merit to be punctual and show up on time. And, like, he talked about, like, starting to realize the importance of Senate, and kind of, like, the soft skills side of that is, like, showing up on time, because showing up late can be, like, disruptive when we have, like, speakers and that kind of stuff. Like, something we always say in theater is, like, if you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late. If you're late, it's unacceptable. Like, it can be really disruptive. But that being said, I did appreciate, like, his honesty here today. I know that none of us want to have these difficult conversations at 7 a.m. on Mondays. But I was kind of an idea I was kind of thinking of was, like, even in formal government, censures basically serves as, like, a warning. So now that we've removed the 1/3 point for the tardy unexcused for ASA, he's at 8 2/3, I believe.
1/3.
Yeah, 8 2/3. So, I mean, something we could do is, like, upon the accumulation of a certain number is what would warrant removal. Because while I agree that, like, the work that he does is really important, and I think he's, like, a great member of our body, his ideas are so, like, contributive to the conversation, I think that at the end of the day, like, there is a professional standard that we need to set as a body, and there comes a point where it becomes too disruptive to the morale of everybody else. So what I was kind of thinking was, like, maybe the accumulation of the 12th point, because this would include either 10 tardy committees, 5 tardies for Senate, 2 absence unexcused for Senate, or 4 absence unexcused for committees. So it's a pretty high standard. Like, he would need to, like, really not show up in order to meet that standard. But if it ever does come to that point, we have those, like, standards set in line. don't know what you all think of that.
Senator Gonzalez?
I agree with the situation that there should be a third strike out. 12 points, I feel, is excessive leniency. I do get that being tardy is an issue that happens, and there's things that you can't get out of right off the bat. But if we were to do 11 points, we're to attach everything else, I think it's something that he should understand the importance of what it is to get to that point. So I do agree that hitting that certain amount of points again, he should understand that there is consequence that he might have to head out. Just because it is a paid position, as she said, and it's one of those things where he is in a lot of other situations where he's taking care of that, but not this. So their strike out does seem like an effective point forward for us.
Senator Clausen?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with what Senator Noh said. I don't know that I'm married to the 12 points. Like, I think that we can discuss that a little bit more. But I think that it's important to remember in this conversation that although we are student leaders and this is a very like prestigious role that we're in and that we should be mindful of that, and it does come with a set of professional standards, that we are also student leaders and that we have to have a little bit of grace with our colleague here. I know that I think we're all talking about it in the same way. We're not trying to really like bring down the hammer here, but I think it's important precedent moving forward that we're coming into this with understanding minds wanting to help them, not hurt them. So again, I agree with what Senator Noh said. I don't know that I'm married to the 12 points. I think that that might be a little excessive as well, but I'd be willing to debate that more further.
Senator Noble?
All right. Allow me to be the party pooper for a minute. We've all been talking about this very non-specifically, very candidly, and very politely, but frankly, no. This is not a valid excuse, not for this point. The one that Senator Nathan Underton assigned has been cleared, but the one that was given for my committee was not done for a valid excuse. And frankly, I find the circumstances surrounding it to be indicative of irresponsibility and of also deceptiveness, because if you know the circumstances of this one, not only was this point accumulated because Senator Kerman Shahi was late, but he did notify me beforehand. However, he lied to me about where he was. And frankly, I find this professional conduct to be not acceptable. I don't want to remove Senator Kerman Shahi. However, I think that setting yet another limit at 12 points is not a viable option, because we have given him plenty of slack. We have given him leniency. We have worked on solutions with him, and each one of his chairs has communicated with him. As a matter of fact, at our last committee censure hearing, we were very clear on the public record about what he should do if he comes to a situation where he should be late. And lo and behold, here we are. Now, I agree, it is only one third of a point, but I'm not comfortable dropping the matter, nor am I comfortable setting yet a new boundary, which in my mind, he will eventually cross. So I think that we do need to take at least some kind of a firmer stance on the matter. My recommendation to the committee would be writing a new censure, approving it, and this time enforcing it, because if you'll recall, he has eluded many of the provisions of the last censure that we put in place. And then once we have done that, setting the new limit to a hard zero, meaning that if he is late, we move directly to file articles of impeachment. That would be my recommendation, because at this point, I feel that we have been more than charitable. And while it is important to show grace, we must also respect the positions that we have been in. I'm just going to end by saying that there was another member of my committee who had a decent excuse. However, technically, it was not academics related. And also, it was not work-related. So she asked if she could miss the meeting outright. I told her no. Instead, we worked out a situation where she was able to come tardy excused and then leave just a little bit early so that she could continue with her commitment. And she was there for the part of the meeting that she needed to be on. However, eventually, it still didn't work with her schedule, and so she had to leave budget and finance. As much as I miss her presence dearly on my committee, I understand because we can't all make every committee meeting. But it's important to know what your schedule is and what your priorities are. So, committee members, I understand that we are all students and that we all want to be generous, but enough is enough. Why does Senator Kerman Shahi get so many more chances than this student?
Senator Gonzalez?
Out of curiosity, his reason for being tardy, it was in any capacity about school?
Decidedly not.
So, I do agree.
Well, no, not exactly. His reason was valid. What I later learned to be the truth was not.
So it was straight up just a lie about his reason?
Correct.
Okay. In that situation, do you agree that, like, I believe we're all at that point where their strike means out for him? So I do understand where you're coming from. The situation would be giving him an exact amount of points he can win. So would it be acceptable for you if we gave him a point limit where if he's entirely absent of the situation here without notifying anyone he's out or two parties, he would be at the point of leaving as well?
Senator Noble?
The only point limit, because we do have a point limit, it's 5 in CES. The only point limit I would be comfortable with setting at this point is 9. Because he has 8 2/3 points right now. Meaning that upon the accumulation of any more points from Senate, from committee, for whatever reason, that would be the last straw. I don't want to see him removed. I really don't want to see him removed. However, we have to be consistent with our standards. And if we are giving this much leniency to one person while holding everyone else to a strict standard, that's just not fair to everyone else.
For clarification, Secretary Littleman, is it 8 1/3 or 8 2/3?
8 2/3.
8 2/3, okay. Senator Bergen?
I also agree with Senator Noble and what he has to say. I think that when it comes to being a student, that absolutely, like, there's no argument about that not coming first, but I think that there is a standard to be set along our Senate body, and I think that if we cross those boundaries, it would be completely different if Senator Kerman Shahi weren't called into oversight and he didn't have an explanation for what was going on. That would be completely different, but it's the fact that he has already come in and he's already said and he's already explained certain things, and it's the fact that we're in this place again that just raises an eyebrow. And I'm busy too. I have things that I have to get to do, but I still show up on time and I still get my stuff done on time. So I want to proceed in the way of having an understanding of being a student, but I also want to proceed in the way where we need to have an equal understanding across the whole Senate body and not just have special circumstances for special people just because they said one thing or said thing another. I mean, I can have an explanation and I can say one thing or another. So I guess I would like to agree with what Senator Noble said regarding collecting additional points, maybe not till 12, just like how Senator Clausen said. I'm not married to the 12 idea either, but perhaps if we were to set a number that we can agree on as an act, sort of as a final straw, because I don't want to see Senator Kerman Shahi removed either.
Senator Noble?
Senator Kerman Shahi is a bright young man. He has already proved that he can show up on time. My issue with setting a point limit is, as I see it, if we give a buffer room for him to accumulate more points, I truly do believe that he will accumulate them. Because if I know anything about Senator Kerman Shahi, he puts in the work, however, he only puts it in as he needs to. And so I don't think that setting a 12 limit, because I think that if we set, for instance, a 12 limit, he will reach 11 2/3 before he starts showing up on time again. And this is just in my experience with how this process has gone so far. And so I think we do really need to cut a short leash on this one, just so that he can hold himself accountable, so that he knows that there will be consequences. Because ultimately, even though we all do our jobs, Senator Kermanchahi included, because we are passionate about the issue and we care about our constituents, at the end of the day, the underlying threat of consequence is what keeps us honest. So.
Senator Gonzalez.
Could be acceptable for you if he were to pass the 9-point limit, so two parties or one absence to get some out here. Just because I understand you don't want to give him too much leeway, but that instance, what you said, if he knows what his limit is and this is something he truly is, that is truly important to him, he'll give the time and importance to actually show up in time and not be making up excuses for this. But does that make sense? Just too tardy to one act as excuse, then we see about impeachment.
Senator Noble?
I would say either set a 9-point limit or just write it in a way where if he accumulates any more points, then it moves to articles of impeachment, which is effectively the same thing. Now, Senator Nithyanandan and I are not unreasonable people, nor is Speaker Thompson. If he communicates with us, if he's honest about his circumstances, even if occasionally those circumstances aren't strictly professional, then we will, I can speak for myself, not for them, but I will be reasonable and work with him and perhaps even grant him a little bit of grace with some personal circumstances. But this current pattern of behavior just isn't working. And I think that my plan of action, Senator Gonzalez, to answer your question, if the committee agrees to what I'm proposing, then when we call him back in here, we can all collectively explain to him that this is your third chance. This is us giving you leniency again, but this is the last time. And at this point, if you do show up late again, then as the way we write the censure, we will have to take action to remove you from office. We don't want this to happen, but it's up to you at this point.
Pro tempore now.
I think a good compromise for a conversation right now, just because kind of personally I understand that like this is a standard that we need to set with our body, like everyone being on time. I do worry about, you know, obviously like setting too high of a limit, just to, because he won't have as strong of a personal incentive to like stick to that. But I also see the other side of it where it's like we are student leaders and we're students and there's unfortunately so much we can count for at the end of the day. So like another idea that I had was also just if we set it at like 9, for the threshold for removal is 9 1/3, so that includes either one tardy for Senate or two tardy committees, just because I think that that gives him like, you know, enough grace to the point where we don't have to call him in again for like an additional 1/3 of a point or something for like a small matter into oversight, but also setting that higher standard at the same time of like we are giving you two tardies and that is the cutoff.
Senator Gonzalez?
I feel like that would be an absolute, just because, as stated, if he knows where he's at, if this is something that is important to him, once he passes that, then we can move to an absolute impeachment. Just because I understand where you're coming from with having to be strict in these situations, but I mean, at the same time, an act of God is something that's never overseen. But I do agree, 9 1/3 will be a situation where do have to tell him that it's done for him.
Senator Grossen.
I agree with Senator No. Personally, I would have liked to see it be like even just like another full point just to account for like a committee absence, because at the end of the day, I'm more worried about him not showing up and contributing at all than him being late. But I understand that, like, even though that this is specific to Senator Kermanchahi, and I think that 9 1/3 is fair for this situation, I think that we can move forward with it. But again, I want to emphasize that he is showing up, he is contributing, and that I think that this gracefulness is warranted in this regard.
Senator Noble.
So my question is, if we are going to set this limit for Senator Kermanchahi, then we need to set the limit for everyone else. Because right now we keep pushing it upwards and upwards and upwards and upwards. Next time, what happens if Senator Kermachahi does, through an act of God, accumulate another, I don't know, full point, reaching above the 9 1/3 limit. At that point, we call him back in. Well, we warned you last time. Oh, yes, but I don't think that like one absence or two tardinesses should be grounds for removal, which is also a fair point. But that argument could be made every successive time. It can be made any time an absence is accumulated. And again, I don't want him to be removed from our body. What I want to do is make sure that he starts showing up on time.
Probably turn to a vote.
So I think that's a good point, Senator Noble. But if we write in the censure that upon the accumulation of these points, then we will move forward with the impeachment process, it's kind of going to take away from that, you know, repetitive, try to explain your points each time, you know, give him another chance, say that this is not grounds for removal. It'll get rid of that if we have that written in. And another point is that we're not judicial counsel. We're not setting precedent here. So it's not like someone else can come and say, well, you gave this person this amount of points. Why doesn't it apply to me? It is a case-by-case bias. We have discretion to do what we want based on each individual and each case. So I would think that a 9 2/3, just a 1 point cushion would be appropriate, and then upon the accumulation of 9 2/3 or any more would be grounds for removal, and we'd move forward with that process. I think that would be appropriate.
Senator Gonzalez.
So yeah, I do agree that every case is, you know, it's different. So it's one of those things we have to understand where everyone's coming from. Obviously, we're no one challenge these at. But a 9 1/3, I feel, is the best one, just because off the bat, that's one absence, one excuse. And if he's actually communicating, if he's actually coming into these situations, he'll let us know. So there should be no reason for him to pass over an absence. So the 2/3 point is, I feel, the most viable here, just because that's enough cushion, but at the same time, it gives him that, like, you know, it's the final warning. So I do hope that we can move forward with just a 2/3 point accumulation for impeachment. He understands where he's at, and hopefully it doesn't happen.
Senator Noble.
Yeah, and I understand, I truly do, where every one of you is coming from, wanting to extend grace and really making sure that we don't have to go through this again. I will tell you as well, my goal with my recommendation is to never see Senator Kermachahi at 7 in the morning ever again, because, well, I want him to succeed. I suppose my sticking point, though, is I have to consider being charitable and fair to him with being fair to the rest of my committee members and being fair to the rest of my colleagues with my recommendation. I have a creative idea for a punishment, and I want to see what you guys think about it. If I'm correct, Speaker Thompson, there is no maximum point limit in the SAS at which point the process for consideration of an impeachment is necessary. Is that true?
To my understanding, yes, that's true.
It seems that this issue is one that is a little bit more structural then. And I think it would be wonderful if we could, as part of this newest measure, have Senator Kermachahi, alongside one of the committee members, author a piece amending the SAS so that upon the accumulation of, I don't know, say 10 points, a senator will be called before oversight, not just for a censure, but for a censure with the consideration of removal from office, mandatorily. That way, if that threshold is crossed, it is written into our governing documents that we have no choice but to consider removal. That way there is a firm limit, not just for Senator Kermachahi, but for any senator. It's a clean number, it's a high number, and it's fair.
Senator Gonzalez.
We have to recall that most of these points that he got was over some. It's still a case-by-case situation. I do agree, like, that's the thing. Like, we're all in agreement right now that he messes up again, he's out. Like, I'll be fully supportive of that. Like, if he comes in here again, you know, I'm not going to be leaning with that. But that's the situation. It's case by case. We have to understand this. If we said something strict like that, I mean, I'm pretty sure no one's hit 10 points in the past. At least, hopefully not someone that cares about this. So that's the thing. It's always going to be a case by case. And I understand where you're coming from, but that's the situation. I'm really pushing for that two-thirds point. If he misses that, we call for impeachment. But at that point, it is case by case. Like, someone else could be missing just because of sports, for other valid reasons, something about death and family, situations like these. We always have to account that whoever is an oversight in the future, they will always see the reasoning behind it. And, like, this is me being reasonable with the argument right now. I do agree. Like, you know, it's not trying to give too much grace or too much hope, but that two-thirds point is a valid situation where, you know, if he knows what he's doing, you know, he can't mess up. And if he does, I'll be the first one to say, get him out of here. Promise.
No one wants to get him out of here, Senator Gonzalez.
I get that, but the situation is, it's the same argument we've been saying, is that we've been excessively lenient. These points show that. But that's the thing, like, if this isn't a priority for him, something like he's getting paid for, then that's the situation. We can't keep giving that grace in that situation where we know what's going on, but it's a reasonable situation where we can give him that two-thirds before we call for any action.
I move to pass the gavel to Parliamentarian Goodwill.
I accept.
Do you guys want to continue discussion? Senator Clausen?
Yeah, so I agree with Senator Noble's previous comments about the 10 points and having Senator Kamenshahi write a piece, and here's why. It sets a universal precedent that all of our colleagues can follow. I think that it's the most fair to the entire Senate body in this sphere. I think it's a unique design to have somebody who has been through the censure process be co-authoring the piece, not as a member of oversight, but also with a member of oversight who knows the procedural elements that go into a censure and into the articles of impeachment. I think that it's applicable. I think that it's universal. I think that it sets a good standard. I think 10 points is fair. And I very, very strongly agree with Senator Noble on this.
Senator Gonzalez.
This is a person that's active in a lot of other organizations, and you want him to co-write as something that affects him, you know, first. I think that the distrust from the situation, just because I believe we're getting out of the point, it's just what are we doing against him, not something that he should be involved in that situation, just because, you know, this is something we're throwing at him that should not be for him, it should be for us.
Pro Tem, no.
So a question for Senator Noble and Senator Clausen. If we were to move forward with the 10-point piece for this specific censure, then would we want to move up that threshold that we're considering right now for Senator Kamenshahi up to 10 points? Because I think that that is also a little bit more lenient than we are expecting from him if we were to go forward with that piece right now. So,
Senator Noble.
This isn't about Senator Kamenshahi for me. I hold him in high regard, and I want him to keep being successful. But ultimately for me, this decision right now is about the body as a whole. It's about our standards, it's about who we are and how we want to hold each other accountable. And frankly, Senator Kamenshahi has tested those boundaries. So the reason why I'm in support of this particular form of punishment is for the reasons that my colleague articulated better than I did or could. But also, more fundamentally, Senator Gonzalez, because I think it's about sending a message, not necessarily assigning what is fair in the moment. Because in the moment, if Senator Kamenshahi has an extenuating circumstance, he's involved with other things. If he has a conflict, he can text Senator Nithya Nandan, he can text Andrew, he can text myself, explain himself, send proof if necessary. And then we can choose not to give him any points if we consider it to be a valid rationale. Now, in terms of the limit being set, Senator, no, I agree with you. 10 is high. It just seemed cleaner to me than like arbitrarily sending it at 9 2/3 based on this instance, or 9 1/3. And also, y'all wanted to give him a little bit of a buffer. Well, there it is. But I feel that if we give him a buffer, it needs to be universally applied. It needs to be a standard that everyone can hold up to. Also, your original suggestion was 12 centered. So 10 is a little bit lower than 12.
I agree with the 10 points. I was originally with the 9 1/3 points too. But we got to keep in mind here that we're not saying that he can't like miss another meeting. He can, but he just has to communicate that well. So regarding the piece that you guys want him to write, I agree with that, but I think I just agree that it'll be setting a universal standard for all officers.
Pro tip now.
Yeah, I see the point that all of you are making right now. I would just suggest that we, when it comes to censuring and the point standard that we want to set, that we specifically have it in the Senate rules and not the SAS. This is because Senate handles its own accountability measures. Censures, I just looked it up, are not mentioned in any other part of the SAS other than for election warnings. And so that means that censures are really specific to our branch and accountability. I worry that if we put this into the SAS, it can lead to, say, like judicial counsel and other branches kind of trying to check that, which is definitely they're more in their power to do so. That is how a multi-branch government works, but at the same time, like, these are relations within our own branch, and we have the power to really take those situations within our own purview of our branch itself. So that's what I would recommend.
Senator No, double.
Yes, thank you, Senator No. You're absolutely right. I would like to amend my suggestion in accordance with that, because I agree that the Senate needs to handle its own business. And I think that this should be a standard that we set for ourselves, not that other officers in the association hold us accountable to, but one for each other. So that would be my recommendation.
Senator Gonzalez?
Here's a thing I'd like to just make the points. Third strike out makes sense to me, just because like, if you accumulate that much points, that's multiple hits you would have had off the bat. So yeah, you guys are going overboard with the situation, planning it out with the writing. Like, I really do believe it's a case-by-case scenario here. And that's the thing, three strikes out, that's kind of normal anywhere else with the situation too. And like, I believe this too, like, it's the situation he's at. We're going overboard with where we're going with this conversation. We need to focus that it's on him. If he comes in again, then we take that action to remove him from office. 2/3 points is what I'm calling to action for right here. If we have him write this situation too, like that's giving him extra stuff or what he has now, if this is of importance, he will claim to what we said right here, right now. If we want to write anything, you know, changes anything within Senate operations, that should be within us, not something we throw to someone else that's doing something outside of here.
I'm moving past the gavel of Speaker Thompson. I accept. Senator Noble?
I take your point, Senator Gonzalez. I'm not married to the three strikes out idea, though. As I see it, frankly, this is not baseball. The point is not to get Senator Kerman Shockey removed. My idea is to help him succeed by setting firm, non-arbitrary boundaries that are applied to everyone. Speaker Thompson, I apologize you missed my previous suggestion. However, what I proposed that seemed to be tentatively or tacitly seconded by Senators Klessen and Mel was that instead of setting an arbitrary limit for Senator Kerman Shahi of 9 1/3 or 9 2/3, that we write into the Senate rules that as part of his censure, Senator Kerman Shahi, as well as a member of oversight, will co-author a piece of legislation setting a 10-point limit, at which point that threshold is crossed, they will be called before oversight and considered for a censure and removal. Not necessarily immediately moving towards that, but have a mandatory debate on those actions once that threshold is crossed. That way, we can not only apply that standard to Senator Kerman Shahi in this one specific instance, but it can be a message to the entire body, and we can be fair to everyone.
Okay, parliamentary protocol. And but though before we go any further, I just want to, you know, provide a little bit of commentary to guide the discussion. Is by going ahead and writing something like that into the SAS or the Senate rules. My apologies. What that does, in my understanding, is it doesn't allow us to be able to consider things on a case-by-case basis. I think that one thing that we need to focus in on is that this conversation that we're having right now is pertinent to Senator Kerman Shahi, and that we need to walk away with an actionable item that relates to Senator Kerman Shahi. If, as a member of the Committee on Oversight, you would like to pursue a project that amends our Senate rules to be able to include a limit like that, I think that would be appropriate. But I think that the conversation today needs to be focused back in on what we would like to do with Senator Kerman Shahi. Parliamentarian Drogo.
I agree with Speaker Thompson in that we're making this process much more complex than it needs to be. It's written the way it's written for a reason, and it hasn't changed in a long time for a reason. We don't need to be setting new precedents and new examples for future senators. This is all case by case. We have the discretion. We should be dealing with Senator Kerman Shahi right now. We should be trying to set for the future for other senators. And then I don't think it's appropriate to make him co-author a piece for his punishment. That's just not going to, what is that going to do for him being tardy? His problem is he's late to committee meetings. Making him write a piece, what is he going to do with that? That just seems like just giving him a useless task. And as far as, this piece also could not pass if this made it to the Senate table. What happens if this piece fails? I just think we should take the current situation, make it so we can move forward with impeachment if he acquires 9 1/3 point. And if we want to talk about writing a piece in this committee to change the way censures work, we can do that. But I don't think we should be doing that in his censure hearing and waste his time along with our time when we could be working this out in a separate meeting and making these changes for the future, but in a different scenario that's more appropriate.
Senator Noble?
I take your point, Parliamentarian Toybell. I suppose my mind went to the Code of Hammurabi, let the punishment fit the crime, and thinking, what is a way that I can accomplish my goals with this disciplinary hearing without having to remove Senator Kerman Shahi while also being fair to the entire body? Because you say we must deal with this on a case-by-case basis, and if that is the case, we have a standard, he has vastly exceeded it, and therefore I have no choice but to conclude that we should punish him accordingly, in accordance with precedent, in accordance with what is in our bylaws, which frankly seems a little bit harsh. I suppose this was my way of trying to marry being graceful, while also setting a firm standard that is not just for him. Because what makes him so special that he gets his very own point limit when everyone else has 5? So, frankly, I take your point, it is fair. It was more an effort to creatively show him grace instead of bringing down the hammer as it is written, which you are correct, it is written that way for a reason. But we need to be fair not only to him, but to everyone else. And we need to be cognizant not only of the way our decision will affect him, but also the rest of the Senate. That's why I made my recommendation, I suppose, although your point is well taken.
Perfect. So right now the conversation is really moving in a circle, so I would appreciate maybe if somebody proposes a motion that we can debate and then we can go ahead and make a vote on if everyone finds fit. The only other thing that I do want to say is that I'm a fan of, not really a fan, but I appreciate the vagueness that go into our governing documents at times because it gives the body the power to make decisions. I think that one important thing to also note is that that 5-point limit does not specify removal of office. So whenever we're saying that we're holding senators at another expectation versus another, that we're not really violating, I think, our governing documents, and that 5-point limit is where we begin to take action as a committee and as a body. And that's where this governing document gives the discretion to the body to be able to make determinations on a point-by-point basis or a case-by-case basis, especially as that we're not an investigative really body like the judicial branch where our decisions are setting precedent for the future kind of thing. We have the discretion as a body to be able to go ahead and to make that. Are there any motions on the floor at this time? Pro tempore, no.
I move to censure Senator Kerman Shahi by saying upon the accumulation point total of
If I'm not mistaken, we first debate on the censure and then make a separate motion for the punishment.
If I understand correctly, we have been debating on the censure, and what we're doing now is making a motion And if we go into discussion on that and approve that motion, then that censure punishment will be what it carries.
Are you sure?
Probably can't come up.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how we did it last time.
Last time, if I understand correctly, I mean, we did come to a more solid conclusion before going ahead and making the motion, but seeing that there's a lot of differing opinions, I think that we need to have a motion on the table that has solidified vocabulary, and then we can go ahead and go into discussion on that and either approve to accept or deny that motion. Yeah. Pro Tempore, no?
I move to censure Senator Kerman Shahi by writing in the censure legislation upon the accumulation point total of 9 2/3, Senator Kerman Shahi will come into the committee on oversight again to consider being removed. I don't know if that's the language you want to use.
Second that, but with the amendment of 1/3, 9 1/3, giving him a full point gives him writing targets. Two targets should be writing.
So first, do you second, and then we'll go.
Yes, second.
Okay. So now we're going to move into discussion on the amendment, or not amendment, but the motion that is proposed. Pro tempore, no?
Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah. I think 9 2/3 it accounts for like an absent situation, and it also accounts for like a couple tardies.
Senator Gonzalez.
It's if he is absent, no matter what, it's still going to put him over. But giving him two tardies instead of three as an opportunity is something that makes this point direct. He knows what's going to happen, and it's right off the bat enough of an immunity in that situation. But I mean, if it's something that everyone else is in agreement, I'm not going to fight it. 9 2/3 is acceptable. 9 1/3 will make it a little more important to the matter that it is at hand.
Senator Noble?
I do apologize, but I don't know if I can fully support this, just because to me it seems like trying to whip someone with wet spaghetti, in that we already censured Senator Kerman Shahi. In the previous censure, we noted specifically that he would have to do extra outreach, which to my knowledge he did not complete, at least for one of the periods that I checked on. And we also said that he would give a report every week to Senate, which to my knowledge he only gave one of and has not been doing consistently as per the provisions of his censure.
And I wouldn't fault that to him, because my interpretation of that was that I would be responsible over the next period of X amount of weeks to be able to call on him to give reports. And I wanted to be strategic in that and understanding that there cannot be much of a development on a week-by-week basis. That's why I've been spacing the reports.
Regardless of whose fault it is, Speaker Thompson, he still evaded the provisions of his last censure nonetheless. Why should this one be different?
Let's see. We'll go Secretary Leland.
Yeah, permission to approach the table. Good. Senator Noble, I want you to clarify what you mean by the evading his censure, you know, through the outreach, because he did report an extra hour on the last outreach period. He reported 5 hours of outreach on top of the 2 hours with his intern. I don't know if there's just something else that maybe you noticed that I didn't notice. Just want to give you the opportunity to clarify that, since you've now brought it up two times.
And that's also what I observe as well, because the first outreach period in which his censure that was passed by the Senate was in effect was fulfilling his censure agreement that we had. So I don't know if you're discussing an outreach period that had been, that had ended prior to the his censure agreement had that passed inside the Senate. Senator Noble?
Yeah, I do recall that the immediate period after our passage of the piece of oversight, I remember there being like discussion of Senator Kerman Shahi only completing his normal four without the additional hour that we had added to the provision of the censure. That might be a procedural thing. However, indubitably, if not that, then the reports, that still does stand as a problem. And unfortunately, it seems like a fairly malleable punishment to me either way. I don't know. I'm not also a fan of setting an arbitrary limit just for one person. Because do I understand the case-by-case nature of this? I do. However, I think that if we have to set it for one person, we kind of do have to set it for all. So
what are we getting at? Are we going to be making an amendment to the motion? Are we going to fail the motion? I'd really like to move forward and like making a decision. Parliamentarian Joybell?
I was going to move to previous question. I moved previous question.
Second.
All right, so this is now going ahead, moving into a vote to move to previous question. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, seeing that that motion passed, we're going ahead and moving into a vote for the motion that was proposed by Pro Tempore No. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Nay.
Okay, so that's 3-2. That's a majority opinion. Parliamentarian Travail, is that an acceptable
majority?
Okay. All right, so would somebody be able to please bring Senator Kerman Shahi back in? Senator Noboy, I definitely think that it would be appropriate to be able to have a conversation moving forward, you know, about what we'd like to see done with the Senate rules, and if that's another piece of legislation or binding resolution, we can go ahead and we can act upon. So let's have a conversation about that following up. Would you like to read the verbiage that you've written down for the motion?
Sorry, I did not write that down, but I think it said something along the lines of upon the point total accumulation of 9 2/3, Senator Kerman Shahi will once again come into the committee on oversight with the consideration of removal. So.
Awesome, thank you. So the committee on oversight, as you observed, had a pretty lengthy discussion. It was reemphasized multiple times that they appreciate the honesty that you provided. They understand that all of us are students and that we have lots of different obligations that come into it. And the main discussion points, really, we're just trying to understand how we move forward with it. What our obligation to the rest of the body is in order to be able to be fair to everyone, if that makes sense. So the Committee on Oversight determined that upon the accumulation of 9 2/3 points, that the committee will go ahead and once again move forward with censure with an emphasis on removal from office and said this. So that, if I have it correct, would account for 9 2/3 points, would account for 3 tardy and excuse to committees, 1 tardy and excuse to Senate, or 1 unexcused absence to a committee meeting. So that's the leniency that the Committee on Oversight discussed today and that they would like to provide to you.
Awesome.
So if there's any Senator Noble.
So Senator Kerman Shahi, this does seem like a familiar situation. I will reemphasize what I did at our last meeting. If you have an issue, if you have a problem, if you have something that you think might not even be a valid excuse, doesn't matter. I still want you to text me. Let me know. Send it in the group me. However you want to communicate, do it in advance as much as possible. And at that point, we can figure something out. I don't want to assign you any more points. And so communication is key.
Exactly. I'm a little confused. So am I being removed from office, or is the point being
Senator Noble?
The decision, which was not my original proposal, but the decision that the committee came to nonetheless, is that we are drawing a new line at 9 2/3 points. Senator Kermchai, you currently stand at 8 2/3, meaning that if you accumulate another full point, at that point we will call you back for removal.
Okay. Sorry, I appreciate the. It's been a lengthy morning, I'm sure, for all of you, and I appreciate the time. Especially for the remaining members of this committee that have decided to stay past the decision. I completely understand. As you guys have seen before in my last censure, in my last comment meeting, I tend to bounce back from these things pretty hard, so I'll be sure to impress you all with the next decision.
All right, thank you, Senator Kermashadi. All right, so that concludes our business for agenda item 7B. We're going to go ahead and move up to agenda item 6A, 2022, Circle of Change Leadership Experience Conference. So I know that a lot of our chairs have had to step out for class. And so with that, we have a very limited body for discussion on this, but I was hoping that maybe Senator Gonzalez had a little bit more insight on to members of this committee that might be interested in attending this conference. I understand Senator Nathan Vendon communicated to me that Senator Yessi Cano Sanchez is interested in attending. So if there is any more discussion that we'd like to have on this, I think that we truly need to act as a body on this in order to be able to be in the best interest financially of the association, especially since travel costs go up. They go up exponentially as we approach the date of this conference in December.
So I did... I did reach out to Trace. He's checking with his people, but I don't believe there's going to be any interest on that side. Within my committee, Jeffren and both Senator Perez want to go to this, including myself. From the last meeting that we had, I did speak with Yeshu, Randolfi, Smith, and Galvez. Actually, not Galvez anymore, but Yeshu, Randolfi, and Smith are both semi-interested, but they need more information on the situation. Just because of what was stated last night, this isn't just for first gen. This conference is for anyone to attend to. There is a specific first gen meeting, and that isn't until April. But I say it right off the bat, within my committee, there's three of us that are willing to go to this. And if you issue another one, then you have four right off the bat. But I believe if we bring this up to Senate and we have an actual vote on who wants to go, we can get the count, we can start getting people to sign up to leave for this conference. But I believe at this point it's just to be immediate about it.
So it was you, Senator Perez Ramirez,
then Jeffren, Senator Jeff. Yeah.
Okay. Senator Noble.
My recommendation at this point is for the fiscal measures that you set at this point. We begin to look into a set number of senators that we want to send to this event, with a select number of spots available. And I think that if we set it at, like, I would say four, that'll allow the people Senator Gonzalez is proposing to attend. And if one of them is unable to, we can extend the opportunity to the broader body as a whole. But you are correct, we do need to start buying airfare.
I will say to Senator Galvez brought up a situation where Tahoe actually has two people that are wanting to go. Both the president and treasurer, Stasi and Alex, are wanting to go to the situation because they are both first gen, and that's how they understood the situation to be. But they showed interest in going to this. So there is people in Tahoe that are wanting to be more active within ASUN. So I feel like we get this out of reach. My point of action here is that by next Sunday, we open it to the full body and anyone within the association we want to send. That way we have a list and we can start moving forward with this immediately. Just because, you know, at this point it's that where we're at right now.
So Senator Noble, but with that, I think that that's definitely an interesting conversation to bring up, is you know, allowing members of that campus to attend. I think that would be really awesome and great, but seeing that this is the travel budget for the Senate, I don't know how universally we can apply that to other students. I don't think that it's something that is impossible. I think that there is, you know, room for conversation there. But I think that it would be important that the members that are using that budget are a part of this body. Senator Noble?
Yeah, in terms of the budget, you're allowed to spend the Senate account as the signing authority on what you want to. Would I recommend buying travel fees for non-senators out of the Senate budget? No, not particularly. Also, I think Senator Gonzalez is right that we do need to have a conversation with it at our next Senate meeting. Maybe not agendized, maybe just informally in comments and announcements. However, what I would also recommend is right now, if not independently, setting a hard limit. Because if we just say, hey, who wants to go, and 15 hands shoot up into the air, suddenly we have vastly exceeded the travel budget. And so I do feel that we need to set either a financial or a personnel limit before we bring it to the Senate body.
I think that four would be appropriate. I know that that's how many people attended the CLDE conference throughout the summer, and I think that that seemed to work out fairly well. I think that it would also help in keeping costs down, especially if we're looking at it within the constraints of our own account. But that also, I don't know if we want to collaborate with other departments. Is it going to be, because I have Gonzalez, Perez Ramirez, and Jojen, and then kind of Sanchez tentatively, is that correct? If Director Wolfgang wanted to take the spot and that made a four total kind of thing, does Director Wolfgang have any idea from their department if they were like interested in attending?
He was reaching out. I'm sure I'm going to connect with him today, so I'll give you a count via text if that's acceptable.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, I think that it would be appropriate to maybe move forward with this incited conversation during comments and announcements, kind of unagendized. If this is something that you would like to bring up in your report, either for your committee or maybe during comments and announcements, we could have that conversation. However we want to see this fit. I want to reemphasize the point that Senator Noble brought up, is that we want to be careful and that we're not trying to really corral too much interest, because then in that instance it's going to be a lot more difficult to make a determination on who could attend and who can't attend, and given the limits of our financial budget, that's something that would be necessary. Pro tip or no?
Just to echo both the points of Speaker Thompson and Senator Noble, I think that like the list of the senators we have, I think they all be like great candidates for this trip. I think it would be cool, especially if like Senator Gonzalez and also Senator Cano Sanchez attended, because they're chair and vice chair of IDEA, and then Yesu also sits on like academics, which would really use that perspective. I think that we could also mention at Senate so I looked up like the per diem rates for Long Beach, and so breakfast, lunch, and dinner is like $17, $18, $34, incidentals $5, first and last day of travel is $55.50, and these are all expenses that would be reimbursed after the fact, so just making sure that senators know that and they have the financial situation to like cover their per diem rates until we can get them reimbursed.
Yeah, and I mean, we could also investigate. I mean, I know that we have $5,000 for our travel budget, so I mean, we haven't really gotten to take another fuller look at what those costs are, but we could also consider that if these individuals who are attending the conference are responsible for something like per diem, that could also offset the cost in ensuring that we stay under the $5,000 travel budget that we have. Senator Noble?
Just as a way so that we can move forward, I think that we've reached a good solid point with the planning phase of this. If cost is an issue, I would be willing to agendize it on one of my committee meetings, and then we can have a more lengthy discussion about the precise cost at the Committee on Budget and Finance. But I think that right now, at least in my view, we've taken care of everything that we need to.
Okay. Yeah, so let's go ahead and let's compile that final list and work with Director Rodriguez about getting a final number so we can get this going forward. Cool. All right. So the only other item that we have on our agenda, again, is a conversation I would really like to have, but I don't know how much insight everyone here that still exists has on that agenda item. We have agenda item 7C, overlapping liaison positions. Senator Gonzalez?
I feel like it's something I do want to stress and like have conversations so we can put the right liaison positions in the right places. But as I saw people leave, it's just one of those things that I suggest this be the first point of action in the next oversight, if you're willing to set one up for next week.
Yeah.
Just because it's something where at this point, like we're all over the place with the situation, but I do believe that we have this talked out. It's something that can do a lot of good, because we can all know where we're supposed to be with those liaison positions.
Senator Noble?
I move to postpone this item definitely until the convening of our next meeting for the Committee on Oversight.
Second.
Perfect. We'll go ahead and move into a vote. All those in favor of postponing this item, say aye.
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 Any in opposition? Any abstentions? All right, no, that motion carries. Going ahead and moving into agenda item 8, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing none, I adjourn this meeting for the Committee on Oversight on Monday, October 24th at 8:24 a.m.